Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
It is 30 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to once again thank those joining us on the radio dial here at 92.3 FM. We also welcome our good friends joining us online worldwide, tuning in through blogtalkradio.com, whether you listen to us through our switchboard, our live chat, or even joining us through our podcast. We're glad you all could be with us. I want to thank our first guest for being with us. For those on the radio side of the show, we were speaking with author Karen Jones, the author of the book Death for Beginners, and also Don English, the author of the book Enlightenment of Evil. I want to thank the two of them. Our next guest is someone else that's written a thought-provoking book, and I think that listeners, especially over the holidays, will be able to find this book as one they can talk about and also share and discuss. I'm talking about Wendy Williams. Her book is called The Globalization of Love. She's here with us to talk to us about the book, what she hopes you all take away from it, and also how we can start trying to look at love a little bit differently. Wendy, welcome to Conversations Live.
Thanks, Iris. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you for being on with us. You know, when I first heard about the book, I think one of the interesting things is, you know, we hear all the time, you know, that love sees no color. You know, love is blind to all of these things. But if you look at the way we live our lives, it's not necessarily the case. Talk to us about your own story and how the book was inspired.
Well, I'm Canadian and, of course, grew up in Canada and did all things Canadian. And through the course of my life and my travels, I ended up meeting an Austrian man, falling in love very quickly, and marrying shortly thereafter. And at the beginning of the relationship, of course, I just saw this really cute Austrian guy. He did speak with English with a bit of an accent, but that didn't seem to be much of an issue. And we could, of course, communicate in other ways. And it was only once we were really into the relationship that I started noticing that some of the things that he does or some of the things that he thinks are fundamentally different from what I think. So my idea of normal or that's the way things are done are very different from the way he thinks things are done and what he's thinking. And based on that, I think because we have a lot of internationally mixed marriages in our circle of friends, I started noticing patterns, and I thought, aha, we're not alone here. This there could be a book in this somewhere.
Yeah, and that is why I'm so glad you agreed to come on the show, Wendy, because I think there is this great misunderstanding that when people think of quote-unquote mixed marriages, they automatically think of color. But they can be, you know, I know friends of mine who, you know, the wife might be Protestant, the husband might be Catholic, and the issues that, I hear them talking about. So when I heard about this book, I thought, wow, this is something that I think a lot of people will appreciate. And as you said, even in your own circle. So talk to us about how you've been able to kind of debunk the myth that I talked about. Because, again, when people hear, you know, the globalization of love, if they look at the cover, the great thing you've done with it is have different areas. You have, of course, Stockholm, Toronto, London, Rome, Istanbul. Talk to us about how you were able to get people to look outside of color as they're thinking about the GLOLO society that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, really, I think that we can look at a multicultural marriage in three different aspects, through their ethnicity, their religion, and their language. And if you look behind each of these doors, there's a whole, you know, range of elements or variables that are affecting the person that they have become. And what I did in the book is also I created three different categories of a multicultural relationship. And it's true. It's not just race alone, and that's one of many. And in fact, race can be something where people can be same race but still have very culturally diverse relationship, depending on the country they're from, the language they speak, their religion, and their experiences growing up. So I think that, in the book I say color is skin deep, and underneath that, it's we're all really the same. So I think that color is not so much the issue in the book. There is one chapter that I dedicate to it because I think it's an important issue, particularly in today's society. But really, it's much more about the person and how they interpreted the cultural environment in which they grew up.
Exactly. I totally agree. For those that are just tuning in, either on the radio side of the program or online through blogtalkradio.com, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with Wendy Williams. She's the author of the book, The Globalization of Love, a great book, I think, that looks at the different layers of what makes up the couples that fall in love, and also how, you know, it's not easy to pigeonhole individuals. You know, you talk about some pretty, what some would consider humorous things in your own engagement and marriage, Wendy. Everything mm-hmm. from the 15-minute ceremony, and when I have been to some that have lasted 2.5 hours, and it's just interesting to try to look at how there are so many differences. Do you hope that this book will help people to not only realize, one, they're not alone in feeling that, you know, that things, you know, or maybe not as others may think they should be, but also getting us to looking outside the box of one size fitting all, that it's okay that we are all different and that we have different ways mm-hmm. of expressing our love.
Absolutely. And one of my more grandiose goals in writing the book was actually to demonstrate that multicultural marriages or GLOLO marriages, thank you for picking up the GLOLO parlance, GLOLO marriages are microcosms or a microcosmic example of world peace. You know, so when we bring together two people from very different backgrounds, and what I say, you know, we share our home and our refrigerator with them and have children with them and so on, and how we negotiate these cultural differences is really showing the world that, you know, two people can get along. It doesn't mean that it's not difficult sometimes, and I do think right. that a GLOLO relationship is more challenging because than a monocultural relationship, there are more issues to deal with. But because people love each other and because they accept and really even embrace the differences sometimes and say, well, that's what makes our family special, or that's what makes our relationship very unique and very enriching. You know, we learn so much from each other. And in my own marriage, it's been really fascinating because, of course, as a Canadian, when we think of Germany and Austria, we tend to think of the Second World War and all of the issues that happened during that time period. And, of course, through my husband and his family and talking with my father-in-law and so on, I've learned a lot more, or a different perspective, let's say, on the Second World War. And when I tell my parents about that, you know, they start thinking about things differently as well. And we sort of realize that we each learned a version of history that is a little bit different. You know, there are some twists on the truth. So it's really wonderful to sort of live in an environment where we're constantly learning and our own assumptions about life are constantly being challenged. It's like, oh, really? I didn't know that. I always thought it was this way. It's like, no. This is, you know, we learned something completely different. So that's really, I think, the wonderful part of a GLOLO relationship and how it can help people to understand that, you know, we're all on this earth together. There's nowhere else to go, at least not at the moment. So we may as well get along. And that each little GLOLO relationship is a start towards world peace. You know, I say at the end of the book, world peace begins at home, doesn't it?
Exactly, it does. And you know, Wendy, I have to say, as a caveat for this, for our new listeners tuning in online or even on the radio, and you know, I'm not married, and I read this book though, and I thought to myself, and I want to ask you this question as someone who's been in the situation: do you think then this makes what would be considered the courting process that much more important, that we get to know the partner before, so it's not all a big surprise once it gets to the I do. All of the, you know, the things that really have to be discussed, should be discussed, and also understood when compromises are made.
I think today in with any couple walking into a marriage, they need to ask themselves some really hard questions. You know, today's divorce rate is so high and is predicted to go higher, and the value of a marriage or the it seems to be decreasing, and it's becoming much more of a disposable institution. And I think that when a GLOLO couple gets together, oftentimes when they get into a marriage, there's a lot more to think about than just are we going to move in together and spend the rest of our lives together. You know, one of them is usually moving country to a new place. Maybe they don't have a work visa. There may be language issues, religious differences, cultural differences, and just the distance from their own family. So these are sort of obvious things that at the beginning of a GLOLO relationship, the romantic lovebirds are not always thinking about. You know, they're very excited. Everything is new and exciting, and wow, I'm going to, you know, move to Europe to marry somebody. It sounds very glamorous, and it's true that people do need to think more about the long-term consequences of marriage, including the possibility of, if there is going to be an exit strategy, how is that going to look, and what is the effect going to be on the individuals who are moving between countries and navigating through different cultures. And so again, I think that all couples need to really ask themselves not just what their compatibility is today, but how that is going to change over time, over 5 years and 10 years, when we have children. And we're far away from the grandparents. How are we going to deal with it? How are we going to practice our different religions? Do you accept mine? Do I accept yours? How are we going to decorate the house at Christmas time? No, we don't have Christmas. You know, we have Ramadan and things like that. And so there are a lot of things to discuss. But I think if a GLOLO couple, if they go through the different chapters in my book, that it provides a very good basis for, let's say, at least a starting basis for some of the fundamental issues in a GLOLO relationship.
Exactly, and getting the conversation started, and we're all for conversation here. Yeah. Again, we're speaking to author Wendy Williams. She's the author of the book, Globalization of Love. Wendy, let our listeners know how they can get their copy of the book and find out more information about you.
Okay. The main source for the book right now is on Amazon. It just, I think, went on Amazon within the last 2 weeks. So, or they can visit my website, which is globalizationoflove.com. And I should mention this because I presume we're listening to primarily American viewers. I did choose to use British English because Canadians use British English, and British English is used in Europe as well. And therefore, I've spelled globalization not with a Z in the middle, but with an S. So I hope this is not too confusing. I certainly hope it doesn't negatively affect the sales of the book. But it is globalizationoflove.com, and globalization is spelled with an S. And there's a bit of information about me on the website and my email address as well. So if there are listeners who have questions or would like to know more about the background of the book and so on, I'm happy to answer their questions.
Well, I think it's great, and I actually think it adds to the uniqueness of it, Wendy. So Globalization of Love, as you said, spelled with an S there instead of a Z. So make sure.
Yes. Oh, it's Z. Yeah, sorry. I'm speaking Canadian.
No problem. And then, of course, as she said, it is available on Amazon.com. I'll be posting my review on there today. I encourage anyone who's read the book to make sure they do the same and start a conversation there. Amazon is great for starting dialogue, and I think this is a book that will definitely be able to start that type of dialogue. Wendy, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. It's a great read, and I look forward to discussing it with you more.
Thanks very much, Cyrus. It was a pleasure being here.
Hey, thank
you
so much.
Have a nice holiday season.
Hey, bye-bye. You do the same. You do the same, Wendy. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have our musical mix today featuring Jatun with Please Come Home for Christmas. You're listening to Conversations Live on the radio at 92.3 FM and online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com.